Tonight is the last night of the great series we've been preaching on about the laws of God, the commandments, the Ten Commandments. Obviously the first commandment right the way through to tonight, you know, make God number one, have no idols, honour his name, honour the Sabbath, honour your mother and father, don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't kill. And then obviously down to this one tonight, which is don't covet. You know, God told us when he spoke to Moses, he basically said this. He said, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. Basically, don't covet anything that's your neighbor's. In modern times, we could say don't covet their iPad, don't covet their job, don't covet their money, don't covet their girlfriend, their wife. Don't covet anything that belongs to somebody else. Don't wish for it. Don't long for it. Don't crave it. Don't treasure this thing in your heart, because once you do, we start getting into what's the second commandment, which is making idols. And as you know from when we preached last time, making an idol basically just consumes you. And this is exactly what coveting does. You start treasuring this thing in your heart and it begins to consume you and take control of you and change you from the inside out. You know, when we give in to this kind of toxic, self-centered mindset of us, in the end, it just brings us to death. I just want to read a scripture to you from James. From James 1. He says, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. You know, one of the greatest examples of coveting and the effects of coveting on someone's life really is David's life, which probably has been spoken about don't commit adultery and stuff. But David saw a woman. He lusted after her, he wanted her, he coveted her in his heart. And because of that desire, because of that hidden thing, he basically got her, slept with her. In the end, he killed his general. He did all the different things he did trying to cover all up. But all of that started when he saw her and he coveted that in his heart. That's where it all started. You know, we all struggle with this coveting. We all struggle in different ways, coveting different things. And this day and age, it's no surprise, because this stuff's rammed down our throats every single second of the day, no matter where we are. I mean, I remember I used to work, and when we worked, everyone would sit around the table at the meetings and they'd all pull their iPhones out and all that stuff. And I used to have a little £10 back then, a 10-pound Tesco Samsung phone. I remember all of them used to pull their iPhones out, and I used to pull my phone out and go, oh, dang, I don't care. I'm not bothered. But you know, it's like actually in that moment, maybe you do cover the iPhone a little bit. I wonder what's going on over there. So it's no surprise when we do. So really what we want to talk about is how we can help ourselves. How can we have victory over coveting? Simply, the answer is just to be content. And thankfully, this Bible, this Word of God, it gives us lots of different ways we can be content. And all me and Dimitri are going to do tonight is just focus on three of them. So the first way we can be content is quite simply to be thankful. If we're just thankful, we'll be happy. We'll be happy in different ways. Let me read you again a little scripture. It says this. Rejoice always and pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's God's will that we're thankful. I wonder why. Why is it God's will that we're thankful? Well, if we're thankful, it makes us content. It brings us peace and it makes us happy. And if we're not thankful for what we have, then the opposite happens. We get the opposite of that. You know, often what we take for granted in this day and age, when we look around our homes, when you look into your life or your car and your stereo ain't that great, or you look at different aspects of your life, the stuff that we actually take for granted every single day, there's often somebody else praying for exactly that thing. And we just take it for granted like it's meaningless. So we should be thankful. We should be thankful for what we have. Right in the beginning of creation, this whole thing about coveting was used really to deceive Eve. Because what happened was, in the garden, Eve's surrounded by abundance, provision, I mean, multitudes of blessings and provision. The animals are all at peace. She knows them by name. There's all this love and warmth and everything else. And all that she's not allowed to do is focus on two trees. So when the enemy comes in, what he says to it is, look, are you sure that God said, don't take from that tree, don't eat from that tree? In that very moment when he said that to her, what happened was all the hundreds of other trees disappeared. And all of a sudden, that moment, the only tree she could see literally was the one she couldn't have. What she didn't do is that in that moment is focus on what she did have. She lost focus of that and focused on the one thing that she didn't have. You know, if we focus on what we have instead of focusing on what we don't have, you'll find you'll be pretty happy. But if we don't do that, if we focus on what we don't have and don't see what we do have, then really we'll never be happy. The Israelites, which a lot of you know of, and if you don't, basically God chose this nation of people who walked with them, who you know today as the Jews. And these people, God brought them out of slavery. He rescued them and took them through a sea, did many mighty miracles. These people's shoes never wore out for 40 years. They never had a GP or a doctor or anyone else because they didn't need one, because he healed them. He fed them. He watered them. When they wanted meat, he sent birds to land on a field and sent a wind that fast that they couldn't fly off again. God completely looked after them, but they never stopped moaning all the time. Oh, nice one. Thanks for the food. Oh, flipping heck. Is it quail again? I'm sick of this. Manna, manna. What the heck is that? Which is what it means. I'm sick of this manna. Oh, water, water. Oh, is that it? And you know, in the end, they moaned and groaned that much. They became that ungrateful, which is what they became. That unthankful. They literally lost sight. They lost sight of what God had brought them through. They lost sight of where God had brought them from. And really, when they started kind of looking backwards, when they started kind of coveting Egypt and where they'd come from, that slavery place, they literally kind of lost all sense of everything else. I mean, they ended up calling it in the end. If you read it, they say, can't we go back to the land of milk and honey? I mean, they were going to the land of milk and honey. This wasn't the land of milk and honey. This was a bad place that God took them from, but they were so confused, so discontent and unhappy with so little peace. They were covered in something that really wasn't any good for them. And they looked back, really ignoring what God had done, ignoring the danger, ignoring the cost, ignoring the effects of slavery, ignoring the effects what slavery had on them as individuals, ignoring the effects what slavery had on their families, their children, their wives, all this other stuff. And ignore, I mean, just let's focus on that one moment. This slave master at one point had said, if these Jews keep growing the rate they're going, they're going to be that many of them, they'll overthrow us. So we're going to kill all of the babies that are male born. This was where they were from. But they coveted that because they just couldn't see it. They couldn't see and remember really how slavery affected their worship and everything else. The desires of their heart, what they were coveting really, in their heart, began to blur reality for them. It began to blur and move the lines of what's good and bad, what was right and what was wrong. And really, that's what happens with us when we covet stuff. When we covet things in our heart, when we desire things that belong to somebody else, or some things that really are out of reach, we often end up doing things that we wouldn't normally do. We're driven in the end. In a sense, we're possessed by this thing. We've got our heart then working together with that, telling us, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. But you know, sadly, as many of you will know, the moment you do it, you wish you hadn't. The moment you get exactly what you wanted, it's not always kind of bells and whistles. It's like when you're dieting and you're doing really well. I've been balancing between 15 and a half stone, 16 and a half stone for about 4 years. I don't know what's going on. I try my best, but I just don't move between that. I lose weight, put it back on. But when you're doing really good at dieting, and then literally you just think, sack it, let's blow out. You wake up the next day and think, what the heck have I done? You know, I was doing so well, and now I've just messed it right up. That's what it's like when you're coveting. I'm coveting a bacon, egg, sausage, mushroom, cheese on a barm cake. People covet other things. But really, you wish you hadn't. And that's what happened in the garden. The enemy said to Eve, surely he hasn't said. And she said, oh, well, you know. And the moment she took it, she must have known. Because I think that's why she gave it to Adam. And then they both knew. Then they were naked, all this other stuff. And obviously, that's what happens. You know, it's the same ever since. We want, we want, we want, we want, we want. And then we get it. like I said, we just say, what have I done? I remember I was at the gym the other year. And it was the other year. I do home stuff now. It's Craig here tonight. You see my dip station. I got my birthday money. But I was at the gym in a sauna and I was talking to this guy. This guy was a manager of somewhere and all that stuff. He was pretty high up. And just in the midst of conversation, he started talking about his life. He started telling me about his relationship with his partner that he had. He'd been with her for 10 years. How it was all right. He was happy. But then he started telling me that 10 years before, he'd literally gone out with this woman behind his wife's back. This woman was his secretary and he committed adultery on his wife. He had an affair behind her back. She found out and she left him. He had two children or three children. But I remember him saying to me in that sauna, he said, you know what's funny? He said, I've been with this woman 10 years of my life. He said, and I'm still nowhere near getting what I had with my wife and children. I'm nowhere close to getting what I lost. That's often the case with what we covet in our heart. You know, I just want to say to you, first of all, just be thankful. Thank God you've got a wife. Thank God you've got a husband. Thank God you can breathe. Thank God you can see. Thank God you can walk, talk. Thank God you've got friends. Thank God you've got a fighting chance. Thank God you're born in this country. Thank God that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God you're saved. Thank God you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank God you're filled with joy, filled with peace. Thank God that you have a relationship with him. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for your brothers and sisters. Thank God for a new day. Thank God for all the wonderful millions of things you can thank him for. Trust me, you could thank God all day and still have stuff to thank him for. Every single hair on your head, all the things he's protecting you from. Thank him, thank him, thank him. The more you thank him, the more content you'll be, the more happy you'll be. Thank him that you can trust him. Thank him that he's faithful, which Dimitri is going to talk to us about right now.
So, as Paul said, how we can to be content and trust in him, it's a very important element in our life. And so many words related to trust. It's trust, rely, reliance on strength, ability, confidence, expectation, future, hope, responsibility, obligation, authority, care, belief. It's so many words, protection, faith. So many, you know, we can actually relate to that. And when we take plane, or we take bus or train, we rely on drivers, pilot. So basically, we trust them to deliver us to destination. Why we can't trust God? But in a similar way, but there's more highs because we got high expectation and obviously got more high expectation from us as well. So, for example, you know, we're buying cake. And one day, you know, I got massive chocolate cake. And I was so happy, eh? So I got this cake. And I just, middle of, you know, the biting, right? And it says, mouse tail there. And you know what, Maya, just, I was expecting something, right? So nice, you know. And my appetite has dropped. And I think, you know what, I trust, you know, the person, you know, who make this cake. And now, you know, how I can trust, I'm never going this shop again. So, and basically, I've been working in a Teesside port quite a while. Long time ago. And that time, you know, I put everything, my trust, my kind of, I'm making some kind of idol to that job because I had everything, you know, I had quite happy life and I had money, so I had no kind of independency from anybody. So I mean, independency in myself, so I can buy stuff, I work. Everything was perfect. In 1 year, I lost the job, and everything is dropped. And I'm thinking, what's going on? God, what's happened? I want something. So I said, right, okay, I can do myself. And I start to rely on myself and thinking, right, okay, you know what? I'm going to looking some job for myself. In a few months, I get interview. And I put everything in this interview, my heart, everything what I got. I'm prepared. I don't know, I didn't sleep, you know, a month probably to prepare, you know, that interview. So I didn't get it. And I'm thinking, God, what's going on? Huh? And I was angry. I was rubbishing God. I said, you know what? God, I don't know what to do. I've been really seriously angry about that. So I start thinking, what I'm going to do? So I start understanding without God, without Jesus, and trusting Him, I can't do anything because the Jesus created me, and I have to trust all my heart, give everything what I got. I start pray, I start meditate, I start, you know, focusing on Him. So in a few weeks, I got another interview, and I got a job. And it's interesting fact, when I got a job, my manager, new manager, said to me, you know what, I had a vision from God. I have to employ one block from Eastern Europe. And you came along. And this was absolutely miracle. It was a miracle for me. Because I couldn't believe. And I said, right, okay, Father God, you just answer my question. I have to trust and give you everything what I got in my life. Everything, I can die for you. And wherever, you know, I'm not going to tell, you know. But the years and years and years and improving, absolutely improving my life because I'm trusting completely Him. I survived 3 reorganization in company because I was so happy. I was just, was no worry because if God give me that job, He will never take back. So I was no worry if it's happened, you know, anyway, if it's happened, you know, the God take the job, so He brings something else because I trust in Him. I trust in everything, you know, what He gave me, He will bring back a better because God loves us and He wants to better for us, better place. So, and improve, you know, that's what we can trust Him, basically. And I lost it. Sorry. And so we can trust as well, you know, our healing. And probably in a few weeks ago, I told as well, you know, about what happened with me recently. It was a quite big lump and very painful in my arm, in the left arm. I went to doctor. I wasn't panicking. I'm just saying, really, just okay, because Julie said, oh, go to just to check, you know, if it could be cancer, or because it was painful. So I went to doctor and said, I got this pain, I got this lump on my arm, so I would just want to know what it is. And she said, oh, you know what, we can't say because we need a scan, and if it's progressing, if it's more painful, you have to go back and to check, and we can say, you know, what it is. I said, oh, I can't wait. And I asked, you know, how is going to be, how long will be? And she said, this could be a year. And basically, if his pain is progressing, I have to go back. And this pain could be years and years, and this lump will be staying there. I said, no, I can't wait. And she looked at me, what do you mean can't wait? We can't do anything. I said, you know what, I'm going to pray. And she looked at me, you know, miserably. I said, what do you mean pray? I said, because I'm trusting God. And I know Jesus healed me. And she said, right, okay. In 2 weeks, everything is gone. It's nothing there. Absolutely, it's another miracle. But I knew there's a miracle. It's not a miracle for me anymore because I trust in Lord heal. We must believe. We must believe the Lord going to heal us. And finally, I want to read the scripture. It's probably my favorite scripture. It's just the smallest. It's a Proverb 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your, not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And it's another way is basically, the seek his will and all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So we must trust Lord, because God loves so much. And because Jesus loves us so much, we can trust him completely. And the love another, there's another key to be content, and Paul gonna talk about that.
Cake afterwards, by the way. Chocolate cake. At the back. Chocolate mouse, yeah. Early for Easter. You alright, Faithy? Our little Faith fell over outside. She split her leg open, so she's soldiering on for the sake of the gospel. Hallelujah. Well done, love. So we can be content by being thankful. We can be content by trusting God. And we can be content by loving others. You know, if we just get so full of love for other people, basically there's no room left for you. There's no room left for me. It's just full of love for everybody else. That's the way it works. You know, the laws which have been preached the last 10 weeks are basically split into two parts. The way we look towards God, the way we react towards God, act towards God. And secondly, the second part, are all to do with how we react and treat other people. So stealing, lying, adultery, all these other things, coveting. So in those two parts, you know, Jesus said, often in the New Testament, he always talked about, well, there's the law, but there's a spirit of the law. It's not just don't commit adultery. Don't not commit adultery, but also don't look at somebody lustfully, because if you do, you've committed adultery already in your heart with them. So he took it deeper than that. He's saying, basically, the law wasn't just about doing certain things or not doing certain things. It was about what you thought, how you acted, all the stuff, really, which nobody could see. And that's a scary thing, because this commandment, thou shalt not covet, isn't like the other ones. You see, if I covet my friend's car, he doesn't know it. It's not like I've stolen the car when he does know it. If I covet my friend's wife, he doesn't know it. It's not like I've gone and run off with his wife. It's all hidden. If I lie to my friend and covet that, he doesn't know it, because I've not been caught lying. This stuff is hidden. When nobody sees it, it's formed in our hearts, and you don't know it's there until you see the fruit of it, until it comes to fruition, and all of a sudden you think, what's happened there? Why has that just happened? You know, this coveting really is embedded in our heart. It's fed, it's incubated, and it grows within us. It's always wanting what it can't and what it shouldn't have. Galatians 6 verse 8 says this. He says, don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. For whatever you sow, you will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You know, basically, another place, Jesus said it's not what comes into a person what makes them unclean. They were talking about dirty hands, and he was saying, look, it's not what goes in a person's mouth that makes them unclean. It's what comes out of them that makes them unclean. Out of their heart. Because out of the heart comes all kinds of malice, adultery, death, murder, threats, violence, and all these other things. The heart, really, the coveting of it all, the heart, before we're born again, is all part of our fallen nature. Coveting is part now of our fallen nature. And this heart, our fallen heart, it has its own language. The language of self, self-interest, self-satisfaction, self-centeredness. Self, 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 self. But when we get saved and we get born again, the Bible tells us God gives us a new heart. And this new heart has a different language. It has a love language. It speaks the language of Jesus Christ, where it loves other people. You know, the more we speak love, the more we do love, the more it grows. The more it grows, the less and less and less there is of me and you. You know, love is also like coveting, in a sense that it's unseen. If I love Stu, and I love him, and I pray for him, and I carry him, and I defend him, and I'm there for him, He doesn't know that until I show it, until he sees the fruit of it, until all of a sudden he needs someone one day and I'm the one who's there. That's the way love is. It's not obvious. I love you, I love you, I love you. Because often love doesn't speak like that. Often love just acts and does and moves when it's needed to. You know, they said these five love languages, gifts, time, words, action and touch. All of those things really are about something doing something. And that's what love often does. Love isn't obviously seen until it's manifested. And the fruit of that is what? Well, gentleness, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, you know, generosity, all these different ways love is expressed, all the different ways that we can show it. And the more we love, I found, because I didn't know what love was before, and quite frankly, I have done for the past 4 years, and what I've discovered is love is the most fantastic thing on the planet. The more you love, the more content you are, the more happy you are, the more full of joy you are. But really, this is if you do it properly. If you love freely, if you love people without expecting something in return for that love, if you just love them for them, because that's what real love is. Real love isn't there to kind of feed itself. Real love sacrifices itself. See, Jesus said this is what real love is. Greater love is no one that he'd lay down his life for his friend. Love doesn't feed its own agenda, it kills it. He loves its neighbor as itself. So just love them. Love people in any way you can, everywhere you can, as often as you can, as many times as you can, wherever you can. And don't really try to trick people and manipulate people to get out of them what you can for you, to get out of people what you want for yourself. Really, we have to die to our own desires. We have to die to our selfish agendas. And to do that, what we do is we see other people's value. We see the love for other people. We see the importance of other people. Because that's exactly what love does. You know, when I was discovering what love was, I mean, I'm literally talking fact to you now. I was going on a year, 2 year process saying to God, what's love? What does love look like? How does love act? What does love do? And in that process, I remember seeing an advert in Facebook of a nice big Range Rover, which I liked. It was a nice looking car. And me and Stu had been to see this motivational speaker. He'd had this car given to him, this Jag, because he was well known, he was famous. And he used this Jag to travel about to his meetings because they advertised him driving the car. And I saw this Range Rover, and my friend owned this shop, and I thought, oh, wonder if one day I'd get a Range Rover and just use it, you know, travel about, and as I go to the schools and stuff like that, doing talks, it'll just be a way of advertising, you know. It'd be like, I wonder. Anyway, that was it. And about 6 months later, I remember going to this school, and out of the blue, I rung this guy up. Oh, maybe we should catch up for a coffee. And yeah, cool. All right, I'll come down. And literally about 3 days before I was going to go, do you remember when I rang you up and asked you if what you were doing with your car? Do you remember that? Remember that conversation? I said, what are you doing with that car, Martin? Said, you've got a car. And what are you doing? And you said, I'm keeping it. Well, this was then. And I was sat on a street in Billingham. And I'd rung Martin and said, I need a car, Martin. I said, Chris has got one there, this car. And I thought, oh, that's not what I wanted. I wanted a flashy car, you know. Oh, I'll ring you, brother. And then, so anyway, but as soon as I put the phone down, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And within seconds, he showed me something about me. And within seconds, he showed me, 6 months before, I had seen this Range Rover. And in that moment, he took me right back into that car and said, look, for 6 months, you've been coveting that car. You've been coveting that car and you've wanted it for 6 months. And really, this whole basis of you going seeing this person on Friday isn't to love them. It's not to be the brother to them. It's not to support them and encourage them. You're going there because you want a car. I tell you, in that moment, I had to admit he was right. But here's a scary thing. I didn't know it. He had to show it to me, to show me the deceitfulness of my own heart, because I didn't see it. And in that moment, I remember I repented. God, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for valuing something over him, all this other stuff. I'll tell you, when I went to see him, I was free from it completely. I didn't get a car. I didn't want one. I didn't care. It didn't matter. But I'll tell you, all that mattered was in that moment, it was so kind of washed in the blood that this meeting was a righteous encounter. There was a young lad who came in there who needed to know stuff about God, needed some hope and all that stuff, and good things came of it. But what I'm saying is, I'd coveted that thing in my heart, but love, understanding love, all of a sudden, put what was 40, 50 grand's worth of car as absolutely worthless compared to his value. You know, we watched a film today, me and the kids and Stella, and at the end they were talking about this treasure. They found this treasure, and this lad got his dad back, as well as treasure. And Stella said, what would you take? Would you take the 10 million quid or a dad? And I said, the dad? And she went, no, are you lying? I said, I'm not. I'd have a dad. And she went, well, I'd take the money. But you know what? I'd take the dad because I never had one. So actually, I'd love to have a dad and all that stuff. There's more value in the person than any monetary gain. So you know what? This age could be the age, could be called the age of coveting to me. It could be. The advertising boards, everything we see, everywhere we go, all of it is driving us. We're encouraged every day to covet our neighbours everything. What they've got, you can have it, you can have the same, you can have better, take it, all this other stuff. And the reality is, if coveting really made us happy, if it really made us happy to have all this stuff, everything we desired, which you can now today. If you want anything today, you can get it. You know that, don't you? If you want a casual relationship, and you adults know what I'm talking about in here, that lasts, whatever, a couple of minutes, each dinner time, you can get that today. Right now, you can. If you want anything, you can get it today. But if coveting really made people happy, then why are the prisons absolutely bursting? Why are children's, young people's counselling services, mental health services, divorce, separation, violence, depression, repeat prescriptions for depression, all these other things, counsellors which we never had in this nation 30 years ago, are now through the roof. Why? Because it doesn't work. Coveting and getting what you desire over and over and over again never satisfies. And it never will. It never does. It's like McDonald's, isn't it? You want a McDonald's, you're hungry for a McDonald's, you've seen the advert where the chicken McNuggets and chips have been there for 10 years and they're still the same. But you get the McDonald's. But after you've eaten a McDonald's, you just feel dirty. You feel hungrier than you did before you ate it, don't you? And actually you think, why the heck did I do that? That's Mackey D's. But that's the same with life. We're just not satisfied. You know, the reality is this. The Bible's pretty clear. If we want to be content, if we want to have peace, if we want to be happy, then really we should just thank God a lot more than what we do. We should trust God and trust in his faithfulness more. And we should love other people. If we live like that, then I'm telling you, we'll be happier than what we are. Because we'll be so full of God and love for God and love for other people that we'll be free from ourselves. And that'll make us happy. That makes us content. So I want to just say three things before I finish. And I'm going to finish on this. The first thing is this. Maybe some of us in here, maybe we need to just take time to just thank God. Maybe we've been taking for granted some of the stuff we could have been a bit more thankful for. I don't know what that is, but maybe we've all got something we can say thanks for. Maybe some of us can put ourselves back into his hands again and trust him again. I was speaking to Carl this morning about how God's been speaking to me and Stella lately, just about going back to basics. And what I mean by that is just trusting him for provision, for everything. It's just basic relationship with God. And actually trusting him is basic relationship with God. So maybe we just need to make that conscious decision to kind of put our whole stuff back in his hand. You know, he's got the whole world in his hand. You know that song, yeah? Those of you that certain age, before they stop doing it at school, we'll sing it in a minute if you want, impromptu, a cappella, whatever. But it's, do you know what? It's a wonderful song because he has got the whole world in his hands. He has got you and me, sister, in his hands. He has got every little child. He has got every little thing in his hands. Everything is in his hands. So maybe some of us need to put our trust back in him. And maybe if you've never done that before, you've never actually come to God as a dad what he is, as a loving father what he is, as a spiritual father of you, because you're not just flesh, you know. You're more than flesh. You're made up of other things which when you die and you cease to exist on this plane of life, you're going to go on and live somewhere else. The reality is God's there with big open arms wanting to embrace you and love you. So maybe you can put your trust in him and say, God, you know what? I want to trust you. Like a lot of people in here, and I'm looking around the room and multiple people could come and testify of how real, powerful and all that love is. So maybe some of you need to do that. Man, if you're real and you're here for a reason, let's call a spade a spade. You're here because you're hungry and you're looking for something. So stop messing about and just tell God you want to trust him and give him the chance to do something in your life. And thirdly, maybe some of us need to just sacrifice ourselves, our own wants and desires and me. Our Noah right now, it's his birthday in a month, and every single day, every minute of every day, Dad, can I have this video for my birthday? All right, son, yeah. Dad, can I get that chocolate? Yeah, you can, son. Hey, Dad, can I get this for my birthday? Yeah, you can, son. Can we go to the potato land? Yeah, you can, son. I mean, everything. Son, it's not your birthday for like a month, but he doesn't listen. Maybe some of us need to stop asking. Maybe we just need to start thinking about other people.